Chapter 10, and while you're turning over there, thank you so much for the meal, and always eat too much when I come up here, but it's a joy to be with you, and thank you for the invitation once again. I started praying as soon as I was invited, and Lord, what would you have me to speak? And so that which I'm giving you is what I believe the Lord would have me to say, and as well as what we just heard, and I appreciate that message. A real good encouragement and a reminder to us, because I've known way too many people who held the truth who were just mean about it. And they had really no love about them. And I don't want to be like that, and I know you don't want to be like that. So what a good reminder that was. Appreciate that message to us. Greetings from Grace Memorial Baptist Church. Sorry my wife couldn't be here, and I know that disappoints some. But anyway, I'm glad that I can be with you today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read verse 12 and verse 13. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. I have worked in the machine shop industry for over 25 years, and my job has been that of a quality control inspector. That means I'm responsible for checking parts and making sure the dimensions are meeting the blueprint requirements. And in order to do this job, I have to use measuring equipment. There are various ways and means to inspect parts, but I assure you that all of the tools used to check the quality of an item must themselves be accurate. In other words, and take for example this pair of calipers here. This is a measuring instrument, and if these calipers are not accurate, then it will not give me an accurate reading. And so if I measure a part that should be 3 inches long, if these are not right, if they're not proper, then I can check these all day long. They're not going to be right either. Either they'll be right and I'm saying they're wrong, or else they're wrong and I'm saying that they're right. But boy, that is a problem in the machine shop industry. Therefore, it is necessary that all measuring equipment meets the requirements or standards for that piece of equipment. And the way that is done is through calibration. Some of you may have heard that word before. So in every machine shop, all of the tools for inspection are themselves checked for accuracy on a regular basis. And again, this is called calibration. Webster defines calibrate as, and I quote, "to adjust precisely for a particular function," end of quote. For measuring tools, that means that the tool is adjusted according to known standards. These calipers here, for instance, might be calibrated by using a series of gauge blocks that have a very specific size and very close in tolerance. They would be checked by closing the calipers, setting the dial to zero, and then they perhaps would use a quarter inch block and see how it measures. They'll use a half-inch block, see how it measures. They'll use an inch block, see how it measures. Then maybe 3 inches, and then maybe 6 inches. And, well, if the calipers will measure accurately at those distances, at those known standards, at those set tolerances, then the tool is calibrated. And it may be used for production for machine parts. And if the tool fails, then it is either adjusted to meet the calibration. For instance, on this dial caliper, I can turn the dial and move the zero. And so if it's off, they can move the zero and make it right. But there are very few adjustments on this. Mostly it's either going to work or it's not going to work. But if it fails, then it can be fixed or adjusted to meet the calibration, or it can be tag limited in use. These calipers can check the outside of a part. They can check the inside of a hole. They can check the depth with the stem here, so very many uses, but say this stem gets bent, I can still check parts on the outside and on the inside using the same, so it would be limited in its calibration. It just all depends, doesn't it? And but if it can't be fixed, then it's retired. It's taken out of service. Now, the important thing to carry away from this description is that all measuring equipment must be examined, compared, and adjusted to fit a known standard. And that standard is the rule, the guideline by which tools are compared and calibrated against. Every machine shop, when they have these things calibrated, it goes against known standards, national standards. They're all traceable, and it's very, very particular and very precise. Now, you didn't come here to get a lecture or a message on machine shop industry, but I would like to take this as an illustration. So spiritually speaking, every Christian must be compared to and calibrated against the known standard, and that standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to be effective in our Christian walk, it is necessary to go through repeated calibrations. By that I mean that we should compare ourselves with the known accurate standards of the Lord, and if we have deviated from the standard, adjustment must be made to bring us back in line with the standard. It is therefore my objective to remind you of the need to make a self-examination with the Lord as our standard and those things which He has given us by responsibility. And if we compare ourselves to those standards and we're out of spec, we need to be brought back into spec. We must be adjusted to accurately represent and reflect the standard. We must go through spiritual calibration, and that on a frequent and a regular basis. This tool here is usually calibrated every 6 months in the machine shop. Unless you drop it, then it'll have to be calibrated right away. But the tools have different lengths of times. I encourage you, dear Christian friend, to go through a spiritual calibration repeatedly, constantly, continually. So with that in mind, I would like to speak to you a message that I've entitled Christian Calibration. So let's pray. God, again, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house, and thank You for the opportunity to share, and thank You for that which we've heard. And Lord, we pray that You would just bless now as the word goes out that You laid on my heart to share, and just speak it to our hearts by Your Spirit. And Lord, we are in desire to be yielded before You, and so we ask You to move, and we ask You to enlighten and open up our hearts and our minds and cause us to be sensitive. And I do pray that, Lord, any of us who are saved, Lord, if we make those comparisons and see that we need some adjustments that need to be made, help us to do that by Your grace and by Your mercy. And we do pray for those that are lost, help them to recognize they are just way out of whack. That they need to, when they reflect themselves against the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll see how far they really are away. And we pray that You would bring that conviction upon them and grant them repentance and faith that they might be saved. And so we pray for the lost. We pray for those of us who are saved. I pray for this church and her labor here. We pray that You would bless her pastor and all the membership. And as they strive to serve You here, we pray that You would bless them in every way. And so again, we commit this time to You tonight. And we love You and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about Christian calibration. And I trust the illustration has been helpful to you. We looked into 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. And we want to see what these verses are really telling us. Now, Paul rebukes the Corinthians for thinking lowly of him while basing their conclusions upon personal comparisons among men. And you can read that through the text and through the verses which we read. And perhaps from a human standpoint, they might have some foundation for their poor opinion of him. But he warns them not to underestimate him, especially in the spiritual arena. Now, in our two verses, Paul tells them that he does not draw such carnal comparisons as they have done. Also, it isn't wise for them to do so. Nonetheless, the judgments which he makes will be based on the rule of God. That is, if God has given a man 5 talents, then God will hold him accountable for 5, not for 1, not for 10. Further, Paul's service for the Lord will emanate from what God has demanded of him and has gifted him to do. So he will judge himself accordingly. Simply stated, and along the lines of my thinking, Paul will perform a personal calibration of himself based upon the Lord only and those dictates that God has given to him. And he will make the necessary adjustments to conform to the standard. And this is what I encourage you to do. And I pray that God would speak to you about that. Now in verse 12, notice first of all that Paul clearly discourages horizontal comparisons. Verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Now Paul acknowledges that many of those people had done so. But he said, I'm not going to make myself that number. I'm not going to be like some of you have been. He just discourages that parallel or horizontal comparisons. I mean, the truth of the matter, when you think about it, 5'10 seems tall when everybody else on the court is 5'6 or 5'4". But you take a fellow that's 5'10 in junior high, he's the big man on the court, and by the time he's a senior, or else he goes to college, or even just slap him up against an NBA player, I mean, all those guys are trees, aren't they? They're 7 foot, and they're 6'11", and they're 6'10". I mean, the guards are 6'4 and 6'5 anymore. And so, you know, the guy, well, he's pretty big when he's 5'10". Well, not against an NBA player. So it all depends on who you're going to compare yourself with. And so if you want to compare yourself with all the people that are sitting around you, you can do that if you want. But Paul says it's not wise. That's just not a good comparison. And so if we're all looking at everybody that's 5'4 and we're 5'6, we think we're doing pretty good. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to make our calibration against other people. Our Christian calibration is against one standard. And so that's what I would encourage you to do. Now, secondly, you'll notice in verse 12 that those who make such comparison are not wise. We already mentioned that, but notice he says that they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The word measuring here comes from a word in the original language which means to meet or to measure. Now here, of course, it's in the verb form. It's a participle form. But if you look at the Greek word, you'll hear the word meter in it. The Greek word is metron. You hear the word meter there? And so we know about meters. We know, even though we're on the English system, we know about meters. The word means to measure, because this is in the verb form here. And so don't measure yourselves among yourselves. That 5'10", you can measure. You can stand up against a ruler and find that to be the case. Don't measure yourselves among yourselves. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That word comparing, of course, means that. It is to compare. It is to estimate by comparing with something else. Just don't do it. Truth of the matter is, off-white compared to eggshell might seem white. But it's still off-white. Isn't it? And if I set these calipers to the part, I can take this part, and it so happens that it's supposed to be, I guess, 3 inches. I'm not really sure, but it's a little over 3 inches. Now, I can take this, and I could set my gauge to make this look like it's 3 inches. Where it's really not actually 3 inches, it's actually over 3 inches. And if you had a print tolerance, say plus or minus 5, which is roughly the thickness of a piece of paper, and I set my dial to make this look right, then I can check these all day long and they'll be off every time, but the gauge says it's right. Problem is, I set my gauge to the wrong thing. That's why you have standards. And so if you have the right standards, then it'll keep you from making the wrong comparisons. And so if you continue to look at the people that are around you and the people in your church and the people you go to school with and compare your Christianity based upon them, you're always going to get a wrong measurement. That makes sense? And so you want to have the right comparison. You want to go to the right standard. Christians comparing themselves with other Christians is just a poor standard. So just mark that down and say, I'm not going to do it. Then you'll notice in verse 13 that Paul will not go outside the measure, he says, or the standard. He says, but we will not boast of ourselves beyond our measure. It means exactly that, beyond measure, regardless of the measure. He's not going to boast himself of something that God didn't give to him or the standard that God has attributed to him or responsible for. He said, I'm not going to do that. But rather, what he will do is he will adhere to the standard. And that's what we have in the last part of verse 13, of which we'll focus upon for just a few moments. He says, we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us. You see that? Now, that word measure there, it's the same word as measure in the verse prior to that. It means a measure, a standard. It's a specific portion. And he says, but according to the measure of the rule. Now, that word rule comes from a word in the original language, which, well, it's a word for cane. Now, you might think of in the Old Testament, and one of the measuring lengths they used was a reed. So this word comes from the word that you get the word cane. And the word means a measure or it means a rule. In the New Testament Scriptures, it's a prescribed range of action or motion. And so, I could have brought a yardstick up here, and everyone would know what a yardstick is. And you'd say, well, that's 36 inches long, and it's broken down into feet, and then down into inches, and quarter inches, or perhaps some of them might only go to thirds of inch, or whatever the case might be, depending on a yardstick. But that's what that word is for rule, if I may. And so you take the measure or the meter and the rule, and he says, I'm not going to boast beyond our measure, but what I will do is I will according to the measure of the rule. And I believe what he is saying is according to the standard of the measure. According to that standard, that's what I'm going to go by. That which God hath given to him. And so that's his measure. That's his guideline. And it's that which was committed to him by the Lord. You'll see that at the latter part of the verse where he uses the word distributed. That word means exactly that. It is to distribute. The main root word of this word means to be a part of the whole. It's a division of the whole. And so Paul says that I'm going to judge myself according to that which God has distributed to me. And you know, he didn't say, I'm going to see what he did for Barnabas or what he did for Luke or what he did for Silas. He said, I'm going to judge the measure of the rule for me, what God has given to me, that standard. And you'll notice even in the last part of the verse, he says this is a measure that to reach even unto you, the standard of measure they could even judge it by. By looking at that rule, they can understand that. And so they can judge Paul based upon Christ as well. And so he says, this measure reaches unto you. You can understand this. You can comprehend. Now, if you would, I would like to make another comparison very briefly here. And turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Well, bless Brother Jack's heart here. I thought he was going to tramp all over this. But he has a different take, so we're going with it anyway because that's what God laid on my heart. He could have said exactly what I've been saying and I'd still get up and say the same thing because that's what God laid on my heart. And that just means you need it twice as much, right? So, but this will be a little bit different aspect, but everything that he said was true. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verse 11 down through verse 13. We won't go as far as he did. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's verse 11. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, notice, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I hope you see some terms there that kind of jump out at you a little bit, at least for what we've been discussing. Now, if you just glance at verse 11, as has already been mentioned, here we find the bestowal of gifts according to God's will. God gave some first apostles and prophets and that kind of a thing. And why did God do that? Well, we had that heard before. Verse 12, such gifts are used by men in order to help others to maturity and to edify the church. That's the purpose. That's why those gifts were given. And then you'll notice in verse 13, this will continue. How long will this is going to take place? How long will these gifts be used? How long will we be brought to maturity? Until we all come to maturity. That's where it's at. Till we all come to the fullness. So verse 13, he says, till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. How long will these things work? Until we all become like a perfect man. That word perfect there means brought to completion. It is to be fully developed. It is to be complete or full grown. So we can use the word maturity. Nothing wrong with that. Complete maturity. So this is going to take place until we are perfectly made mature. Now, restated then, you look in the latter part of verse 13, he says, unto a perfect man, here's the restatement, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There it is. The word measure, same word we've been looking at, means a measure. It's a length. It's the standard. Until the measure of what? The stature of the fullness of Christ. Now the word stature is interesting because this word actually means a particular period of life. But the idea behind that is that of being full age or years of discretion. But think of it this way, if I may, by quick application. When we look at young kids, we say, well, they're preschool or they're school age or we'll get to teens. And so we place a term on the age of life, don't we? And then we'll go, well, they're young people, and then they're middle age, and then they're in their golden years or what. But we place that on there. And generally when we think of stature, we're thinking of somebody that's big, somebody that's mature, somebody that has grown. And so you'll find in the New Testament Scripture the discussion of the Lord Jesus Christ who grew in wisdom and stature. He's maturing. He's developing. Well, he did that, didn't he? I mean, he was a man. He had to grow and develop. And so we think of adults as being someone who is mature in stature or the fullness, the stature of fullness. You see, they developed. And that fullness means exactly that, is to fill up, is to be a full measure, entire contents, or full to the full extent. So Paul says, all these things will take place until we are perfect, a.k.a., or what notice as, unto the measure of the stature, but of what? Of the fullness of Christ. It all involves maturity in Jesus Christ. Earlier in the verse it says, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Therefore what we find is Christ is the standard. Jesus is the standard. And we are to strive to be like that standard. And the more that we are like Christ, the more spiritually mature that we are. And the less I'm like Christ, the less mature I am. Because the goal is that we'll all develop and be mature in the knowledge of Christ. So with that being said, we looked at the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and mentioned about the standard of measure, Christian calibration. And really Ephesians chapter 4 says the same thing, does it not? To the measure of the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So let's make this practical, or try to make it practical. What about the necessity of Christian calibration? Now, first of all, I think that we need to ask, what is our measure? What is our rule? What standard will I go by? Is it wise for me to take a part and set my calipers to that part and then check everything off of it? That'd be foolish. Can't do it that way. I want to get the standard. Set it to the standard, then I can check everything else and see what compares to the standard. That's exactly what we do. And so, you have to ask yourself, what will I judge myself against? Now let me introduce or give you this concept, because granted it is true, men are gifted of God. No doubt about that. In fact, turn if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mentioned that we are to be like Christ, and I'll come back around to that, but also we find that Christ has done things for us and He has gifted us. And so it is true that men are gifted of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, but all these work at the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man as severally as he will. I'll be gifted as God intends for me to be gifted, and you'll be gifted the way God intends you to be gifted, and I won't be gifted like you, and you won't be gifted like me or the person next to you. God divides them severally as He will. And I'm wrong if I judge myself according to your gifts, because God didn't gift you the way He gifted me. And you're wrong to judge yourself to other people's gifts because you didn't get gifted the way that God gifted them. It's just wrong to do it. It's wrong standard all the way around. Yes, we are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. And God has made every one of us to differ. Back up a few pages to chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're all different. And so in 1 Corinthians 7:7, he says, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. And who was it that made the difference? Well, we know God did that, but back up to chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And it's so easy to boast ourselves up thinking about how great we are. God's the one that gave us that to begin with. We're anything for Him. I'll be talking a little bit more at length about some of these matters tomorrow night. But what we find is that our measure, our rule, ought to be Jesus Christ. And even though we're all different, But one thing is for sure, I'm accountable for what God has gifted me. And you're accountable for what God has gifted you. Your gifts, your abilities, whatever God has done in your life, you're accountable for that. And I'm accountable for me. We're already told in the Scriptures not to compare ourselves among ourselves. It's just not a smart thing to do. But beyond that, if you would just consider for a few moments that we even have the obligations of the dictates of the very Word of God. Truth is, we're all accountable for the Christian character as revealed in the Bible. We all have this opportunity. We all have the revelation of God. So here's a standard that we all can use and we can judge ourselves against, and we have the same book. But when you think about it, and you can go to Galatians chapter 5, very familiar passage, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But do we not understand and remember that we're accountable for the response of our fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, it's a love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm accountable for God's fruit in me, how I respond to that. And you're accountable for that. And so we, and then if you would turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And so it is, it's just that not only am I accountable to the fact that who Jesus Christ is, and again, I'm coming back around to that, it's just the idea that also God has gifted me by His sovereign grace. He's given me abilities and gifts and all that just as He decided to do so. And I'm accountable for that. And the Spirit working in my heart, I'm accountable for that. But here's another thing, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. What about that godly character? Not only all the Word of God, but we just look at these virtues here that are listed. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, here you go, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. We have a lot to be accountable for. We have standards that we're put up against. And it's the standards that Christ, in His sovereignty, has put in our responsibility or under our obligation and care. Now, if you go back to 1 Peter, I kept saying I'll come back around to Christ. Absolutely true. 1 Peter chapter 1, I would just remind you that the standard of all standards is Jesus Himself. And so if you want to measure yourself according to any standard, here it is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, just a reminder. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Christ is our standard. And He is holy. Absolutely holy. If I compare myself among you, I might say, oh, I'm pretty good, or I'm pretty bad, or whatever. If I compare myself to Jesus Christ, I will always see where I come up short and where I'm always off a little bit. And I always need adjusted. I need calibrated. So, when we think of calibration, if you don't get anything, take something away from this. Take this. Two elements. If you talk about calibration, there must be a known standard. An adjustment must be made to meet that standard. That's all calibration is. Comparison is done on a regular basis. I'll give you a quiz later to see if you get this. Comparison is done on a regular basis. Sometimes a tool, as I mentioned before, is still used, but it's limited in service. Machine shop where I work, we do very little inside diameters, and oftentimes those guys will drop these things and they'll bend these tips out here, and you can't use them for inside diameters, but you sure can use them for the outside. And that's what we use them for. And so it can be calibrated, not for the outside, inside, but it can be for the outside. So it can be limited in service. I ask you, Christian, do you want to be limited in your service because you refuse to be calibrated or fixed? Now you think that. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in your heart. There are some Christians that are limited in service because they refuse to be adjusted. They would rather be out of service than to be adjusted. And the truth is, tools that cannot or will not be repaired will be retired. And they will be taken from service, they'll be set aside, or they'll be discarded. You say, oh, that doesn't happen in a spiritual sense. Well, I can read over in the book of Romans where it says that some can die before their time. You know, if you won't follow, if you want to live after the flesh, you shall die. Well, that's your choice. And so as you make this spiritual calibration, you have to look at your heart and you go, wow, what is this? Is there some place that I need to be adjusted? Do I need some calibration here? So if you would, go to one other place, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Examine yourself. Now, I understand that primarily he's talking in the matter of salvation. Examine yourself, make sure you're in the faith. We already read in Peter where he talked about make your election and calling sure. But I have a pretty good suspicion here that in a secondary application, this is in regard to our standing in accordance with our faith. The truth of it all. The truth of the Word of God. And so examine yourselves. Are you in the faith? Are you saved? But what about that faith? What about the body of faith? How are you doing in regard to that? So I believe we ought to examine ourselves. I think it's a good thing to do. And all comparisons should be made against the known accurate standards. Against the Word of God and the Lord. If you compare it against anything else, remember what he said? It's not wise. All comparisons have to be made against the known standard. Proper adjustment must be made in order to conform to the standard. And so when God speaks to my heart that I'm out of whack, that I am not adjusted properly, then I must be conformed to the standard. That's my responsibility, to yield to the Holy Spirit as He works my life. By God's grace, we'll make that adjustment. I don't know about you, but I go out of adjustment a lot. And let me submit unto you, and I have been enumerating these, but I have two left, so this is next to the last. Failure to make proper adjustment defeats the purpose of the tool. If they do not fix this thing when it's out, it defeats the entire purpose of this thing. This is useless. Use it to throw the dartboard or something, because it doesn't make sense. It's of no use if it will not be adjusted and cannot be adjusted. Tool like this out of adjustment will actually allow or permit discrepancies. And where I work right now, when we have a part that's out, and every now and then we'll find out that the gauge, when it came around calibration, the gauge was out. You know what we have to do? We have to go back and verify the parts that we checked with that gauge to make sure that the parts weren't checked and come out bad because the gauge said they were good. Hope you can follow that. Machine shop number 101 quiz tomorrow. Yeah, it's if adjustment is not made, then it fails. It defeats the purpose of the tool, and discrepancies will get through. And let me ask you, spiritually speaking, have you ever heard anybody say to you, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one? You ever heard the lost people criticize other professing Christians? And they make it as an excuse and a reason why they can't follow the truth, or why they can't accept Jesus Christ, or why they're not going to live for Jesus, and why their Christian life isn't as good as other people's, because they're looking at the wrong thing. And what it is, you got some failed measuring equipment out here that's letting all these discrepancies get through. I don't want to be a failed measuring equipment where people can point to me and say, man, if that's a preacher, I'll never go hear a preacher again. If that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want that. You can choose not to be calibrated. You can choose to ignore everything that the Scripture says. But what you'll do is you'll make an impact upon those people around you. And the problem is they're judging you, and you're out of whack. That's a problem. It really is a problem. Last thing is this. We should seek our Christian calibration on a frequent and regular basis. I feel like, Brother Jack, I'm not worthy to speak these things, and I judge myself very harshly. Because I know me, but you know you. And it's still my responsibility to share the Word of God and the truth of the Word. And I submit unto you that every one of us ought to take this seriously as Christians and say, you know what, maybe it's time to get calibrated. Maybe you've been sitting on the shelf too long and you haven't been calibrated lately. The shop where I work, they have calibration every 6 months. And if the tools go out of calibration date, they're not supposed to be used. Some of them do. We have machinists that hide the tools. And then they use them. It's a stupid thing to do. Because if that gauge is out and we produce bad products and it gets out there and gets in a human body, it could kill somebody, or else we can get sued and all kinds of stuff, and it's just a nightmare. Don't wait 6 months or a year to be calibrated. I suggest to you tonight to just say, okay, God, the challenge has been put forward to me to seek a Christian calibration. Well, that'd be a great thing to do in the privacy of your home tonight. God, calibrate my heart. Let me look at you as the standard. Let me see wherein I've gone astray and adjust me. Make me right to the standard. May God grant that grace upon us. And we'd be right.